And good afternoon, everyone, and once again, welcome to the Palmer Mayoral Candidate Forum. We are excited to have with us today three of the four Palmer candidates for Palmer Mayor. We're also excited to have such a great crowd here in the Palmer Depot. A quick emergency briefing, if there is anything that comes out, we would prefer to exit out the same way we came in, but if we do need to exit, we do have an exit door over here to my left, and we can take care of that as we need be. There will be a few commercial breaks built in to tonight's event, so you will have time to get up and stretch your legs, use the restroom, whatever the case may be. Once again, thank you very much for being here. This is a series, the 13th in a series of 14 political forums sponsored or produced by your local chambers of commerce, the Greater Palmer Chamber of Commerce and the Greater Wasilla Chamber of Commerce, primarily produced by Ms. Diana Straub here in the front row. The intent here, of course, is to educate voters on the positions of different candidates and to allow candidates, of course, to get their word out to those voters which attend. Obviously, I'm pretty sure everybody that's in the audience here is going to vote in this forum or is going to vote in this upcoming election, so we certainly welcome you and we thank the candidates for taking the time to be with us today. So what we will do, the format for today's forum will be, we will have a three-minute opening statement from each candidate, and then following that, each candidate will receive a question from the podium here. It will be a candidate specific or a question specific to the candidate. And then following that, the questions will be in a general nature, and each candidate will have opportunity to answer those questions. So if there are no questions from the candidates or the audience on what's going to happen here tonight, we will go ahead and get started. Great. Well, once again, welcome to this Palmer Mayoral Candidate Forum. We're going to start off tonight with a three-minute opening statement from each candidate, and we will start with the candidate immediately to my right, Mr. Kevin Brown. Kevin Brown, a three-minute statement, please.
And the mic is on. Excellent. They've already given me the briefing about making sure that the little green light is on, so we're doing well. Thank you, first of all, for giving me the opportunity to come and talk to you tonight. I've been looking forward to this for weeks. It's rare that we get the opportunity to really sit down with a group of voters and talk to them about our issues, get asked questions, and have a real dialogue. I want to tell you a bit about me because some of you don't know who I am. I'll tell you right up front, I came to this community 4 years ago. I moved to Alaska and found Palmer as the single best place on God's green earth. It is absolutely my home. It is the last place I will ever live. And it's the kind of place that encourages you to get involved, to give your time, to give your energy, and above all, to give your love to different community activities, different organizations. And as my friend Janet Kincaid will tell you, she's provided me with no small number of opportunities to give herself. I really love what I do in this community. I run a small business in downtown Palmer, practically across the street from where we are now. I am a member of the city council. I hear ambulances going by. I'm a member of the city council. I participate in a number of not-for-profit organizations. I'm the president of the board of directors for the Valley Community for Recycling Solutions. We are just about ready to open our brand new permanent recycling center, so keep your eyes open for that in the next couple of months. We're really excited. That was a lot of hard work by a lot of people. I have one project, though, that is my absolute favorite, and that is the Palmer Community News. It's a not-for-profit newspaper I started a year ago to help tell people a relentlessly positive and cheerful story about this community, because there are so many to choose from. And the way that you bring people to your community is to tell them the good things about your community. The way that you get people encouraged to be involved is to tell them about the great opportunities there are to be involved. And we have told a great story about our community and about our local businesses. Talk to any of the local businesses that are featured and you will find success story after success story. And every time I put together another issue, I don't think about what it's going to cost me. I don't think about the week of time it's going to take to put it together. I think about the fact that I get to wallow in the best stories in our community. I get to remind myself all the time how great a place Palmer is. It's one of the many reasons I love it here. I hope you love it too. By the time this is over, I hope you know more about me, and I'm looking forward to the conversation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kevin Brown, candidate for Palmer Mayor. At this time, we would introduce Mr. Michael Malevsky. Mr. Malevsky, a three-minute opening statement, please.
Thank you, Stu. This is the Palmer Depot. My name is Mike Malevsky, and I've had a long history with this particular building. Many of you have been here for a whole series of events, and I think it's fitting that we're gathered here for this particular kind of forum. I've been on the City Council for 3 years. I've served in a variety of capacities, and I'm interested in sharing some of that as we go on through the evening. But actually, I want to talk a little bit about a couple of learnings I've had in my life that have brought me to this point. One is that city council meetings can be enjoyable. I've gone to now slightly over 150 of them in 3 years. Think about that a bit. 150 city council meetings. I know many of you have appeared at some of them. A lot of work is done at those meetings. A tremendous amount of work is done at those meetings. And I want to come out early in this whole forum to say that over the past 3 years, I've been privileged to serve not only with Mr. Brown, but with the rest of the council, where significant work has been done. And the reason why I start out that way is because I believe that we have begun a number of things that deserve to be continued. And some of those I'd like to mention. The first was that 3 years ago, there was a beginning for a rather significant restructuring in the city, the organization of the city itself. That didn't happen behind closed doors. It was a result of a group being brought together to take a look at the structure of the city, the way it worked. And based upon those recommendations, some significant changes were made. There are a number of projects that I would point to that evolved from that time that are still on the board, still in play. And I'd like to mention a few of them. The first is that there is a Board of Economic Development that had not existed prior to that time. And this is another example where people have been drawn into a process to participate in the furthering of the city of Palmer. We have a number of large-scale projects that are sitting there that are still requiring input from people, a decision certainly by the council, by anyone who's going to be elected to that council. But I think those should be enumerated up front. There are a couple of them. I'll start with the sewer system, because that topic is often overlooked. And yet, within this area is one of the potentially most expensive things to be done in the next 5 to 10 years. We're well on our way to doing something there that will benefit not only you as an individual with a home here, but also beyond that. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Michael Malevsky, candidate for Palmer Mayor. We now have Ms. Delena Johnson, also candidate for Palmer Mayor. Ms. Johnson, three-minute opening statement, please.
Thank you. First, I'd like to thank the Greater Chamber of Palmer. Let me just start that right over again. Thank you to the Greater Palmer Chamber of Commerce, especially to Jillian Webb for hosting this forum. It's great to be here. It's great to be able to talk to the people of Palmer. Have an opportunity to speak directly to the Palmer voters and business owners. I'm Delena Johnson, and I'm running to be your mayor. And my association with Palmer is long and enduring. I live in Palmer. I work in Palmer. I'm invested in Palmer, and my 5 children were born here. I still have 3 children attending Palmer schools. I'm running for mayor of Palmer because Palmer needs strong leadership and clear direction. The mayor, according to our charter, is a voting member of the council with an advisory role, and as a member of the council, has the oversight of the city manager and the financial condition of the city. My formal education is in mathematics, and so I can tell you I know how to read a city audit. In the last 3 years, the general fund spending has increased by a rate of 60%, while revenue has increased by less than 30%. Bear in mind, this is the general fund, the operating funds for the city. Think about it. Right now, our general fund has only enough money for 1 or 2 months of operations. Now, if I only had enough money for one mortgage payment in the bank, I'm telling you, I'd be staying up nights wondering what I was going to, how I was going to come up with the rest of that money. So I should point out, Mr. Molesky and Mr. Brown, that these expenditures happened on your watch. You voted lockstep to push these expenditures through. In the last 2 years, our administration and city manager budget has increased by 250%. What have we bought with that money? Well, the city added higher paid personnel on the top while downsizing long-term employees with families. And along those lines, my next question is, why is the city in the construction business? The construction projects undertaken by the city are projects that rightfully belong in the private sector. Let me say, this does not save money. What happens if there are safety violations? Let me just say, who pays the fine? I'm telling you that an OSHA fine does not come out of a grant payment. Does the government do anything more efficiently than a private contractor? More importantly, should they be competing with our local construction companies? My answer is absolutely not. Our city should be promoting private enterprise, not crowding it out. I envision a growing community with safe neighborhoods and income opportunities so my children can have a place to come home to. I envision a town that recognizes its unique history and celebrates its people. I've raised 5 children. I am a property developer. I'm the director of a nonprofit, and I've taught at our college. I know and understand Palmer's needs, and as your mayor, I'll put this experience to work for you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Delana Johnson, and thank you all for your opening statements. Very informative, and certainly get us off to a good start here. At this point, I would like to acknowledge the gifts of some sponsors that we had here that make this possible. Of course, these sponsorships are for the forum and not for the candidates. This all has all been approved by the Alaska Public Offices Commission, and we are lucky today to have sponsoring us Spirit of Alaska Broadcasting and their 3 radio stations, 1430 AM Hometown Radio, KBYR AM 700, and KMBQ FM. We also have Country Legends 100.9 as a sponsor tonight, as well as the Czar of Guitars, which is providing some support for our sound systems today, the Matsu Valley Frontiersman, where you can read about this forum in tomorrow's paper, the Toastmasters of Matsu as our timers, and of course the City of Palmer for providing this outstanding facility. We want to thank our sponsors and thank the Chambers of Commerce for putting this together. At this time, we're going to go ahead and take a 3-minute commercial break, so we will be back in 3 minutes. Thank you. City of Palmer. Up to this point, we have had a 3-minute introduction from each of the candidates, kind of an overview of what they have in mind and what their experience is. At this point, we will start asking questions of the candidates. At this point, we will ask a specific question of each candidate. Each candidate will have 3 minutes to answer that question, or up to 3 minutes to answer that question. And then following that specific question, we'll move on to the next candidate and so on and so forth. And then there will be general questions, which each candidate will have the opportunity to answer in a 3-minute time period. Since we started with Mr. Brown with the introductions, we'll move on to Mr. Molesky to get started with the questioning. Mr. Molesky, you have been on the council for 3 years. What is it that you look to accomplish as mayor that you have yet to accomplish as a city council member?
Thank you, Stu. That fits right in with my introduction. I believe that it's possible to continue the good work that's been done over the past 3 years, and I believe that it's possible as mayor to provide that kind of service to organize that process. Earlier we had a reference to the charter and the ordinances that tell what a mayor is supposed to do. I'll go to two important roles of the mayor. The one is to facilitate the meetings that we have these discussions. This is a very important role. It's designed to ensure that everyone has an opportunity to speak and that the topics are thoroughly investigated before being voted on. The second important role is to advise and provide some connection, some very important connection between the council and the manager. This has been the subject of considerable discussion over the past 3 years. And I think those two roles are the most important. Specific accomplishments. The projects that I began to talk about starting with a sewer system, a co-generating power plant with the FAIR and MEA, putting the Board of Economic Development in a proper role so that it has an opportunity to provide us with the kind of input that can be used, continuing the what I believe to be the important structural changes and evaluation for our city government. And here I'd like to just throw in something that I believe that when you look at an audit or look at a budget and look at the statistics and try to come up with an evaluation of what's going on, you have to look at everything. And I would submit that a thorough evaluation of the role of the directors, whether it's the Director of Public Safety, the Director of Public Works, the Director of Finance, would reveal that there have been significant savings that in many cases have more than paid for their salaries, but more importantly, have improved the situation in the city from a safety standpoint. If we look at just that one issue of OSHA requirements, I can tell you there have been numerous improvements that have made a difference and prevented the kind of safety issues that might be looked at as a problem. I want to ensure that those very thoughtful approaches continue, and as mayor, I have an opportunity to do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Malevsky. Ms. Johnson, if we could ask a specific question of you. I noticed in the Frontiersman on Tuesday there was an article that briefly recapped the experiences of the different candidates, and the article did not list any public sector experience in their article. It also says that you want to make Palmer a more business-friendly town. How do you propose to achieve this goal, and why would you use the office of mayor to get this done? Ms. Johnson.
You're right. I have not had public sector experience other than the committees, the Citizens Efficiency Review Team. I was on the Conference Center evaluation site planning. I can't remember all the various things. I should have made a list of these things, but I don't know if council meetings are fun or not, but I've been attending council meetings for about 5 years, and it's as a private sector person. I'm always there protecting my property interests. So anyway, I think looking at this from a non-governmental perspective, or from someone that's not been involved, is of true advantage. I think the reason that I'm running for mayor is because it's time for Alaskans to participate in directing the future of our state. It's time to act as stewards in the process. And the vitality of our state depends on individuals developing small towns and rural communities. So right now, I believe that Palmer needs leadership. It needs clear direction. It needs vision. We can't continue to ignore our businesses in town. Palmer has a reputation for not being business friendly. And as mayor, it comes down to a matter of listening to the business people to say, what can we do to make you run your business better, and then get out of the way. So I want to be mayor so I can get the city out of the way of doing business in Palmer. I want to facilitate what can be done for the businesses, and that includes keeping the roads open, providing the services that they need, marketing the town as needed, as much as possible, and then letting the businesses do what they do best. Because the only way you can truly have economic development is when private sector is involved, not by having the businesses run and competing or by the hand of the government or the city management. So I would like to use this position to allow businesses to do what they do best, run their businesses.
Thank you very much, Ms. Delaney Johnson. If you could now pass the mic to Kevin Brown. Mr. Brown, the same Frontiersman article says that you have a variety of experience with both the public and private sector, and you say that Palmer is right now at a crossroads. How will your term as mayor make us move forward from this crossroads?
Well, both of the other candidates have already been beginning to address that. One of the most important things facing this community over the next few years, I think, is probably one of the most unsexy issues you can imagine, and that is wastewater treatment. We have been working on this issue for several years to come into compliance with EPA guidelines. We have accomplished that. Now we have the opportunity to take it the next step. We have the opportunity to become a regional wastewater treatment facility, to have solid income in good times and bad, to do a great service for our environment by properly treating our waste. It is not a fun topic. When we have discussions of this, I can see people's eyes glaze over, but it is a critical topic. In addition, we need to be doing the things that we do well to encourage business to grow. We need to make sure that our basic infrastructure is in good, sound shape. We need to make sure that our roads are well repaired, that our streets are clean, that our sidewalks are walkable in the middle of the winter. We have that as one of our basic obligations to the community, and it's something that we do very well, but we always have room for improvement. To give you an idea of the value of doing those basic things, we have, over the past 3 years, increased the value of our wastewater treatment system, water and sewage, by $6.6 million at a cost to the city of $300,000. That's what we do well for our community. We go after the funds, we put together the plan, we enact the policies, we get things done to make this a safer, better community to live, work, play, and do business. There is a rumor out there, longstanding, that Palmer is not friendly to business. I don't know of anything that's further from the truth. Palmer is a good place to do business. People know that this is a good place to do business. That's why they keep opening businesses here. That's why this year we've collected fees for 300 more business licenses than we did last year. That's why sales tax climbs every year, because business does better and better every single year. We have an obligation to provide the basic infrastructure so that they can do their jobs, and then, as Ms. Johnson says, get out of the way.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kevin Brown. If we could now pass the mic to Ms. Delena Johnson, we'll go into a question. I will ask Ms. Johnson this question. There will be a three-minute response time. Followed by that, Mr. Brown will have 3 minutes to respond to the same question, and Mr. Malevsky the same. So let's dive right into a little controversy here. Removal of the rails from downtown Palmer has been a controversial issue for Palmer for several years. How do you propose to handle this issue? Ms. Delena Johnson.
I have an answer for that. Because this is important to me, and I think that the railroad tracks are one of those things that can be a tremendous asset to the city of Palmer. We have the opportunity, the infrastructure in Palmer already in place, that towns throughout Alaska would be so thrilled and delighted if they had the opportunities that Palmer had to bring a train into their town. But the railroad tracks, to me, that's really not an issue. To me, it's bringing a train to Palmer. The tracks, well, you know, the tracks, how they sit or how they are, that's different than bringing a train to Palmer, but you kind of have to have the tracks to get the train here. So I think the city of Palmer should be focusing on how to use the rail to bring economic opportunities to Palmer, not to remove them. Palmer lost one of its most exciting and profitable happenings of the year with the loss of the sold-out Christmas train. The opportunity to use the train as an attraction for visitors, local transportation, and other freight uses is a huge advantage for the city of Palmer and should be viewed as such. The railroad rehabilitation project cannot be evaluated without a written cost estimate from the Alaska Railroad to rehabilitate the tracks and the rail bed. With a solid estimate, the next step would be to meet with the residents, businesses, and other stakeholders in Palmer to determine where we can go with that. Practical decisions on the railroad tracks should be made on solid financial information. We do not have the solid financial information from the Alaska Railroad to make the determination for reconstruction, rehabilitation, and so on. So I would, my stance on the railroad tracks is let's have a train come into Palmer. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Delaney Johnson. Now, Mr. Kevin Brown. Mr. Brown, same question for you, sir. Removal of the rails from downtown Palmer has been a controversial issue. How do you propose to handle this issue?
Well, actually, the city of Palmer had a really great plan for handling this issue. It was what's called a public charrette. It's a planning process whereby the entire community is brought together in a series of meetings with planners and moderators, and everyone puts their ideas on the table for all of the options for what we do with the railway corridor. Do we remove the tracks? Do we keep the tracks as they are? Do we go out and raise the money to replace them? How do we justify whatever plan and whatever expenses this is going to involve? It's a good process. It is the process that communities all over the country use to deal with this very issue. It was something that the council was quite committed to, and it was something that Ms. Johnson fought us on every step of the way. Every step of the way. I don't care if what the community decides, do we remove the tracks or do we keep them? Whatever the community decides, that's what we do, because it's their community. If the community says, we're going to rehab the tracks, then as mayor, my job is to go out and get the money to make it happen. And we do that by sitting down, not only with our legislators, but with private donors, businesses. We put together the business plan that puts them to use, gets them activated, gets them built as quickly as possible. If the community says, we don't want to keep the railroad tracks, then we have to put up a plan for what we're going to do in their place. We have to find the money and we have to do it. If the community says we want to keep the railroad tracks as they are and integrate them into a walking trail through downtown Palmer, then that's what we do. And again, my job is to go out and find the money. That's how I'll deal with the railroad tracks.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kevin Brown. At this time, we're going to pause for a 15-second station identification break. And welcome back to the Palmer Mayoral Forum here in the downtown Palmer Depot. Ms. Johnson and Mr. Brown had just answered a question regarding removal of the rails from downtown Palmer, which of course has been a controversial issue. We'll now move to Mr. Malevsky. Mr. Malevsky, how do you propose handling this issue?
You framed it as removing the railroad tracks, and the first respondent spoke about bringing a train in. Mr. Brown spoke about a process. I prefer to go with the process. I was a supporter of the charrette, as was Mr. Brown. I think it, at that time, with considerable input, was a reasonable way to bring focus to this issue. It's been around for a long time. I've gone to sessions and listened to Mr. Carr from the railroad speak on the issue. I've reviewed materials. I've read the railroad plan for commuter rail that will go out here into the valley. I've also used my long-ago experience as a Gandhi dancer. Those of you who know what that is know that means I've lifted rail and put in ties and tamped gravel. And I've walked that line two or three times just to see what condition it's in. And I can tell you, it's not in good condition. I've asked people better equipped than I to tell me, is it possible to bring a train in? And my sense is that the reason there hasn't been a train in 2 years is because the track needs something done to it. Now, I agree that we need to involve the railroad in the process. The city has had conversations with the railroad. It's a little bit of a chicken and an egg situation. The railroad is quite willing to say, well, tell us what you'd like to do. And we say, railroad, would you please tell us what you're willing to do or what it would cost? And I'm looking for a forum that would allow people to come together. That included the railroad. That included people who have, at this point, very specific ideas, whether it's a train or keeping the tracks or putting in a bike trail or a park or whatever it is, and have that discussion so that we can move forward from where we've been, which is pretty much dead center. The only and a difference that I have with Mr. Brown is that I think as mayor, one of the more important tasks is to remember that it's the city council and this community that's going to have to get behind getting monies to do whatever is going to be done. The mayor has a very important lead role in that. But I can tell you, my experience over the past 3 years is that that city council and the community itself has to support any idea, and it has to support getting that money. I think something can be done, but it's going to require that kind of effort, something that we're waiting to do now, and I suspect will happen once this election is done. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Malevsky. At this point, we will add a new question, and we will have Mr. Brown start with the answer. Once again, this will be a 3-minute answer to this question. Mr. Brown, Palmer has a 3% sales tax rate as well as a property tax. Wasilla has a 2% sales tax rate and no property tax. Do you have any proposals in mind to reduce Palmer's tax rates while maintaining current levels of city services?
I have absolutely been waiting all night for that question. Yes, I do. We have been working with the Alaska State Fair and with MEA on what's referred to as a cogeneration electrical power plant. The steam from that plant, natural gas power production, can be channeled to our wastewater treatment facility, allowing us to move up to 8 million gallons a day of processing, allowing us to become, with minimal investment from the city, which can largely be funded through grants, if not entirely funded through grants, it allows us to become a regional wastewater treatment facility. Properly structured, the fees paid by Wasilla and dumpers throughout the borough could actually entirely offset property tax in the city of Palmer within 5 years. That's why it is absolutely critical that we pursue this. As mayor, this, I won't say will be my single-minded focus, but it is definitely going to be one of my main focuses and is something that we've already been working on, and it's something that I have been pushing for 3 years. That's why I have worked so hard to get good people elected at MEA so that this becomes an option available to our community. It's absolutely vital to our future. Imagine that. Within 5 years, we could eliminate property tax in the city of Palmer. Pretty impressive.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Mr. Malevsky, same question for you. To recap here, Palmer has a 3% sales tax rate as well as a property tax. Wasilla has a 2% sales tax rate and no property tax. Do you have any proposals in mind to reduce Palmer's tax rates while maintaining current levels of city services?
Thank you. Mr. Brown has spoken about the single most important way to do that. I can tell you that up front. We've reviewed it as a council. We've looked at the preliminary projections, and this is a unique opportunity. There are communities around the state that have situations that are unique to them. This city of Palmer, by having the fairgrounds located where it is, having our sewage treatment lagoons located where they are, and having an energy cooperative like MEA at the present time with a very progressive, willing to look at things kind of organization, presents us with an opportunity that just is not found any other place. And I've traveled around the state. I've looked at places, most recently in Kodiak, which has taken advantage of their situation with a hill with constant wind that has worked to their advantage for providing electric power. I think that the most important thing that we do is be alert to those ways of doing things. I don't see that there is anything as large on the horizon that will match up with that. But I can tell you that we have maintained a tax rate and a mill rate on our real estate that hasn't increased. And that's an important first step. Finding ways to reduce it is where we want to go. And I think we're going to be able to do that in the very near future.
Thank you very much, Mr. Malevsky. Ms. Johnson, the same question for you. The question reads, Palmer has a 3% sales tax rate and a property tax. Wasilla has a 2% sales tax rate and no property tax. Do you have any proposals in mind to reduce Palmer's tax rates while maintaining current levels of city services?
Well, just let me backtrack just a moment to the tracks. I just want to point out that I didn't oppose the charrette and the process. I opposed the $70,000 that it was going to cost to do 4 public meetings. So I just wanted to just clarify that because I am all about public process. I just thought some of our employees that were already part of the staff at the city could be utilized to do a fine job with getting that public input. Anyway, going back to the tax issue, first of all, I'd like to point out that you can't reduce property tax from the enterprise fund. You can't take revenue from a power plant and reduce your taxes. So that's just for starters. I just wanted to point that out. I don't see our property tax being able to be reduced by that. We need to utilize the standards from the private sector to get us on a positive track. And we need to encourage and attract commercial investors. And where could we and how could we do that? I would say that there's a lot of different things that I see as a positives about Palmer, but we have a wonderful airport, and we have a commercial business park that has facilities available for commercial construction, and we have space available on the airport. We have a railroad track to that, so if there was any type of manufacturing, we do already have manufacturing at the in the business park that is, uses those modes of transportation and transport. So I would say that the first thing that we would need to do, there's no easy answers to this, is take an inventory of what we have. We take an inventory of what we have, and then we say this is what we need to complete our businesses, our business spectrum in Palmer. I don't think there's an easy answer to that. People have tried for a long time, and I'm thinking that it's a one step at a time process, not an easy answer. As far as the energy and power plant, that would be a delightful thing if that everything worked as hoped, but there's only a handful of these experimental plants and power plant generating power plants around the world. So I'm not going to hang my hat on that one.
Thank you very much, Ms. Johnson. If we could have the mic to Mr. Malevsky. We have just a few minutes before a commercial break starts here, so we're going to go with a 60-second answer to this next question. Mr. Malevsky, if the Alaskan legislature told you could have only one appropriation this year, one capital appropriation, what would that appropriation be?
Well, I've already identified a couple of things that are of highest priority for me, and that involves our infrastructure. Anything that would be supportive of a cogen plant, if that proved to be a useful way to obtain the funds, because the funding will be various for that plant, would be number one. Because I think it has the biggest impact in terms of what would be happening, bar none. We've utilized a variety of sources for our work in other aspects of infrastructure, the sewage plant, et cetera. Some of these have been DEC funds, other types of things. When we go to the legislature and say you want money, very often that process requires a listing, a consideration of everything that we have, and I don't know anything more important than the associated infrastructure for sewage and power generation.
Thank you very much, Mr. Malevsky. We'll now ask the same question of Ms. Johnson. Ms. Johnson, if the Alaskan legislature said you could have only one capital appropriation for the year, what would that capital appropriation be?
Well, I'll have to look at this as if the money is just out there, because I always remember that we don't ask for capital appropriations with thinking that it just comes out of an unlimited bottomless fund, that it all has to be paid for somewhere. I have a real passion for the history of Palmer and for the historic district, and frankly, I would like to not necessarily see the bond for the not necessarily see the bond pass for purchase of the Matt-Made property, but I would like to have that property available to be developed. And so I would like to have a capital project that involved saving our historic space, our historic warehouse. We don't own the water tower. To own the water tower and make that the center and heart of a cultural place in Palmer that can be used to bring more and more cultural tourism to Palmer. So I'd like to have a capital appropriation to purchase the land and to add to it a cultural center for Palmer.
Thank you very much, Ms. Johnson. Mr. Brown, same question for you, sir. If the Alaskan legislature said you could have only one capital appropriation, what would that appropriation be?
I would go after the appropriation necessary to bring that cogeneration plant online as quickly as possible and get wastewater treatment underway right away, because it's projects like that that let us afford all of the other things, including the long-term ongoing project that will be whatever we as a community decide to do with the Matt-Made property. Absolutely, bar none, the top priority for me will be going after the funds in order to become the regional wastewater treatment facility for the Valley.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown, and thank you all candidates for your honest and open answers. At this point, we're going to go ahead and take a three-minute commercial break, and when we will return, we will have more questions. And good evening, and welcome back to the Palmer Mayoral Candidate Forum here in the downtown Palmer Depot. We do have with us today three of the four candidates for Palmer Mayor. We have Ms. Delaina Johnson, Mr. Michael Malevsky, and Mr. Kevin Brown. They have been kind enough to spend quite some time with us answering some questions, and since we believe that punishment is the best policy, we will continue with the questions until they tap out and decide to leave. I would like to point out that this is tonight's forum is a part of a 14 forum series sponsored by the Greater Palmer and Greater Wasilla Chambers of Commerce, and it has been put together and produced by Ms. Diana Straub, and we certainly want to thank her for doing that. The purpose of these forums is to help educate the public regarding policies and issues facing the community during the upcoming elections, and to allow the candidates a chance to expound a little bit on their positions in a much more open forum. Tonight we have about 50 people in attendance, and we certainly appreciate your attendance tonight. And I would remind everyone that KBYR AM 700 and 1430 AM Hometown Radio will be rebroadcasting this forum Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So if you would like to learn the schedule for that, you can contact those local radio stations, which are part of our sponsors tonight. Spirit of Alaska Broadcasting has been kind enough to help us with the engineering this evening. Country Legends 100.9 FM station will be providing a podcast. The Czar of Guitars has provided us some assistance with our audio system this evening. The Matsu Valley Frontiersmen, of course, covering the event tonight and sponsoring as well. Also, the Matsu Toastmasters Club providing timing services tonight so that our candidates can stay on track. We also want to thank the City of Palmer for providing this outstanding facility in which we are able to hold this forum. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and continue with questions for the candidates. There will be one question, and each candidate will have 3 minutes to answer the same question. So once again, each candidate will answer the same question. So at this point, I believe that we left off with Mr. Malevsky starting, so we will have Ms. Johnson start with the next question. Ms. Johnson, in an interview with the Anchorage Daily News, writer Joe McGinnis said that Palmer was still the same town he remembered after 25 years of absence, while Anchorage and Wasilla had changed considerably. Is this a good thing or a bad thing, and how should Palmer change?
Well, I guess he didn't spend a lot of time here because there's a few more paved streets, quite a few more streets, and a little more a little more going on in Palmer than 25 years ago. I definitely think that Palmer should change. I definitely think that Palmer should stay the same. I think there's two ways of looking at that, and I think we have one part of town that should be treasured, and we're right on the edge of that. The historic district is a treasure that we have that should not change. We shouldn't lose our water tower. We shouldn't lose the warehouse. We shouldn't lose our residential colony homes. But we do need to be able to buy a pair of socks. Maybe we can buy socks now, but maybe we should buy a little bit more in Palmer. That needs to change. And how that can be, well, that has to be done with an assessment, again, an inventory of what we do have and what we want and what we need, and to go about building and attracting that to our town. Done in a way that doesn't include one-way couplets through the historic district and through the middle of our downtown Main Street that is a treasure. So when you have a treasure, when you have something to lose, you don't want to lose it. That should not change. But there are other things, other places in town that we can put the stores that we need, and we can do it in a way that can be not unsightly and not just large retail box stores. That needs to change, and it can, as well as in a way that's it has to be directed, though. It has to be done, started with an inventory and done with a plan.
Thank you very much, Ms. Johnson. If we could now pass the mic to Mr. Kevin Brown, we will ask Mr. Brown the same question. Mr. Brown, in an interview with the Anchorage Daily News, writer Joe McGinnis said that Palmer was still the same town he remembered after 25 years of absence, while Anchorage and Wasilla had changed considerably. Is this a good thing that we are perceived to be the same town, or is this a bad thing, and should Palmer change, and how so?
Well, first of all, I'd say it's not an accurate thing. Delaine is absolutely right. So much has changed over the past 20 years. So much has changed over the past 5 years. The community continues to grow. The population grows. We diversify our economy. New stores come in. Old stores leave. Stores expand. Businesses grow. Things change. An economy that doesn't grow begins to die. We absolutely have to focus on growing our economy, and we have to do it by focusing on what's best of this community and how we retain it. What brings people to this community, what makes them want to invest here, includes that wonderful small-town feel, that charm, that grace of a small Midwestern town that somehow magically got transported to Alaska. Except there wasn't anything magic about it at all. People came from all over the country to carve out a future out of the Alaskan wilderness. If we try to keep it all under glass in a protective little bubble, we do them a grave disservice. We have to preserve what's best of the community, and we have to give it room to grow. It's exactly what they did, and it's exactly what we owe the people right now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. Mr. Malefsky, same question for you, sir. In an interview with the Anchorage Daily News, writer Joe McGinnis said that Palmer was still the same town he remembered after 25 years of absence, while Anchorage and Wasilla had changed considerably. Is it a good thing that we're perceived as not having changed, or is this a bad thing, and how should Palmer change?
Palmer has two aspects. In 1980, I was living in Nome, and came to the Valley to take a job with the school district. Brought four kids. My wife was in Nome. We looked around, and I asked them, because they were young and honest and everything else, and I said, what do you think? Where should we live? They picked Palmer. Why did they do that? It felt right. And all I can tell you is that over the years, I've had that experience over and over again. Most recently, we had a couple from Sweden that came and spent a couple nights with us. They wandered around town. We took them places. We took them around the valley. And they commented about the feel of Palmer. Now, how do you describe that in terms of a particular structure or thing, et cetera? What is that all about? It's feng shui, it's whatever. But I can tell you it's a sense that I've had. We live, my wife and I live in historic downtown Palmer. The house we are living in was built in 1938. I've seen pictures of it in 1938, and I've seen pictures of its renovation. It's the same house? No. It's totally different. It's been renovated, upgraded, etc., and yet it has the same form. It's in that same location. It still has part of the spirit of the place. And I submit to you that that kind of thing, that kind of change that happens when we evolve a place and still retain the spirit is what we're all talking about here. Whether it's the railroad or whether it's Kozlowski's. I remember buying not only socks, but all kinds of stuff in Kozlowski's, and so does Janet. In 1980, that's where I went for food, for socks, for everything. Well, it's changed. We can still buy things. There are other stores. It's an evolving place. I think Mr. McGinnis was right, because as I understand from his writing, he's sensitive to the spirit of places. He does a pretty good job of describing that. But I also submit that Anchorage definitely has changed, and maybe even the spirit of Anchorage has changed, and that's what makes the difference. That's maybe why so many other people have come out from the city to live here. Over and over again, I ask people, why, you know, what is it that brought you out here, even if you're working in Anchorage? And it really is the spirit of the place.
Thank you very much, Mr. Malevsky. Appreciate your answer to that. Now, at this point, I believe, let's see who answered the last question here. I've got my trifocals on and writing. I believe we started with Ms. Johnson for the last question. So at this point, we'll start with Mr. Brown for the next question. Mr. Brown, the city of Palmer has had sort of an on-again, off-again chase with annexation. With you as mayor, with you as the leader of the council, you as the director of the council, what will you pursue as far as annexation of additional property into the city of Palmer?
The first thing is we'll complete the project that we've begun of analyzing what went so horribly wrong about annexation last time. When the city attempted to annex large sections of territory, including farmland, many problems with our code were pointed out. Things that would endanger the continuation of farming in this community. As a result, we've been fundamentally rewriting our agricultural code. And that's the sort of thing we need to keep doing. We need to keep looking back at the lessons that we should have learned. How do we apply them? But I don't actually intend to pursue annexation at all. I have no desire to see annexation go forward for at least the next several years. Palmer's not ready. There's not a need for it. And more importantly, we have to have something to offer to encourage people to want to be part of our community. And yes, properly structured legally, we can actually reduce or eliminate property tax in the city of Palmer through wastewater treatment. If we can do that, then suddenly we have a very powerful reason that people might want to be a part of our community. People who are already part of our community become part of our city, I should say. Because just because you live just beyond the city border doesn't mean you're not part of the community. But until we have a coherent plan, we've learned the lessons of the past, implemented the changes that we need to make, and have a reason to annex and something powerful to offer, it's not something that we should even have on the table.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. Mr. Malevsky, same question for you, sir. The city of Palmer has had sort of an on-again, off-again policy to pursue annexation. As mayor, how will you lead the council regarding annexation?
I think the city of Palmer and the council must do due diligence. We have, in the process just completed, taking another look at attitudes towards annexation and some of the reasons that might make it a worthwhile thing to pursue or not. We are not in the process right now of pursuing annexation as a stated goal. We are definitely saying that it's obvious that annexation is something that we need to continue to look at. I personally, like Mr. Brown, have no intention of putting annexation on the front burner and saying we must do this. But I'm also aware that some of you live both in Palmer and the greater Palmer area. If someone asks you where do you live, you will say Palmer, but you don't live within the city. I also know that annexation over the past has been very interesting because it was done to fill in a number of pockets, places that were surrounded literally by the city but not served by the city. And I also know that at the present time we are left with situations, let's go from sewage to garbage collection. You can live across the street from someone else that, and both of you live in the city of Palmer, but because of the annexation process, you'll be served by the city or by a private waste removal organization. And interesting enough, the price is different there. Those are things that we need to take a look at. They're small, but they're irritants. They're saying, well, it doesn't make much sense. So one thing to do is to say, yes, the people that are most affected by annexation must be involved in this process, and we have definitely moved forward in the way we do that. I believe since the last time, we've learned some things. I won't call the last one horrible necessarily, but it was not successful, and that's where we're moving. We want to do each one of these tasks with informed, thoughtful approaches.
Thank you very much, Mr. Malevsky. Ms. Johnson, the same question for you. The city of Palmer has had sort of an on-again, off-again policy to pursue annexation. As mayor, how will you lead the council regarding annexation?
Well, interestingly enough, this is a concern mostly for the people outside of the city and not so much the people inside of the city. That's the question that I get about annexation usually comes from people that are outside the city limits. But anyway, annexation has to make sense. It has to make sense for the people that are inside the city limits and in the proposed annexation area. The city of Palmer has to sort out its agricultural code, its own budget, and land use before it will make sense to bring more property into the city limits. I believe that any annexation larger than 10 acres needs to be approved by the residents of the proposed area.
Thank you very much, Ms. Johnson. Thank you very much, candidates all, for your responses. At this point, we'll start with Mr. Malevsky for the next question. And Mr. Malevsky, with this one, we're going to talk about Palmer being pretty much the center of government for the Mat-Su Borough. It has been since it was formed and continues to be so. However, we do see now government offices moving more and more towards Wasilla. Wasilla is continuing to pursue these organizations to move their way. What is it that we can do as the city of Palmer, with you as mayor, to make sure that we maintain ourselves as the center of government for the Mat-Su Borough?
Thank you for that question. Simple answer, maintain communication with the borough. I'll say that again, maintain communication with the borough. It seems like a simple thing. The borough is to my left, the city building is to the right. They're not very far apart. But I can tell you, because one of the things I do when I finish up with city council meetings very often is wander home, and I wander through the assembly meeting on the way home. And I have attended, in the last 3 years, probably 100 assembly meetings. And I've done that because I've been interested in what the borough is doing. I'm aware that what we have done in the past 3 years is very carefully ensured that the borough manager and the city manager have spoken to one another. They have met regularly. Our assembly person representing this area has been there. This is a critical thing because I'm very often the only person at that assembly meeting that is in any way somewhat officially connected with the city of Palmer. Now, I know there's communication at various levels. It's important for public safety to talk to public safety and one place to the other, and those are important things. But I am also aware that there are opportunities to encourage the borough to remain in Palmer and see an advantage to that. And part of that is tied up with building structures, where you would locate, and along with that, the cost associated with any kinds of moves. And I've watched the discussions that have gone about placing some portion of the offices to the west or here or there. And I'm saying each time that I've noticed this happen, the borough assembly, at least, has reacted when the cost factors began to be discussed. So what I'm suggesting is that what we need to do, and what I would certainly be proposing, is that we review to ensure that we can make an offer to the borough to assist them in their process of improving the location of their facility. Because at the present time, they are sorely overcrowded.
Thank you very much, Mr. Malevsky. We'll now hand the mic to Ms. Johnson with the same question. Ms. Johnson, the city of Palmer has long been the governmental center for the Mat-Su borough. However, the city of Wasilla and other cities to the west have begun approaching the borough about relocating all or portions of their operation to the west of Palmer. What can we do in Palmer to maintain ourselves as the governmental center for the Mat-Su borough?
Did you say approaching or poaching? We don't want to let the borough go to Wasilla. We let too many things out of Palmer and over to Wasilla because, frankly, they have the land and they have the monies to attract people or businesses or some of our agencies that Palmer doesn't have. But the borough, with its 350 employees in downtown Palmer, is integral to our town and to our downtown merchants to keep them in place. So again, it goes back to communicating with the borough and saying we want you to stay here. We have a plan. We will do our utmost to find a place for the borough to make its home. And that, again, starts with an inventory of the facilities that we have. One of the things that, you know, crosses my mind is we will have a car store that's going to be empty when the new car store is open. Maybe that's a spot that they could, one place that would be a large enough area to have the assembly chambers for a short period of time while we do find a place and a way to build them in bigger areas. Building, or they'll have to do that, but that we can help to keep them here. This is a matter, it is about talking to them, looking for a place that will fit their needs, and saying, this doesn't make financial sense for you to move somewhere else. We can make it happen here in Palmer.
Thank you very much, Ms. Johnson. Mr. Brown, the same question for you, sir. Palmer has long been the governmental center for the Mat-Su borough. However, there are considerable and often there are attempts to move the borough and portions of the borough government to the west of us. What would you do, sir, as mayor, to make sure that Palmer remains the governmental center for the Mat-Su borough?
Well, I can tell that communication is going to be the theme for this answer. The mayor needs to be in constant contact with the borough management, the borough mayor, the borough assembly. But beyond simple communication, beyond the inventory of what's available and what it will take to bring it up to spec for the borough's use, we're actually already hard at work on this. One of the things that the council has already done is approach a local architect, Mr. Gary Wolf. We have provided with a very small amount of funding necessary to begin the analysis of the existing borough building, what changes can be made, where the building can be expanded, where greater efficiencies inside can be had, so that we have the opportunity to help them design a structure that suits their needs here in Palmer while maintaining the historical integrity of the existing borough building, and moreover, providing the city of Palmer with an opportunity to integrate some of our services in with theirs, share some spaces, share some facilities, providing a cost savings to borough residents, not just the city of Palmer, but all borough residents. It's a process that we're already hard at work at, and yes, communication is critical, but there comes a point where you have to put a plan in place, and that's what we're moving toward right now.
Thank you very much, Mr. Brown. I would like to thank all three candidates for their open and honest answer to that question and to the other questions tonight, and would like to remind our listeners that we are here tonight with the Palmer mayoral candidates. We have three of the four candidates with us here tonight in the downtown Palmer Depot. At this time, we're going to go ahead and take a four-minute commercial break, and we will return for the wrap-up of the Palmer Mayoral Forum. Four-minute commercial break. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Palmer Mayoral Candidate Forum here in the historic downtown Palmer Depot. Tonight we have with us three of the four candidates for mayor. We have Ms. Delaney Johnson, Mr. Mike Malevsky, and Mr. Kevin Brown with us, and they have been quite forthright with us, answering a series of questions. We're now kind of ending, approaching the end of our time period, so what I will ask at this point is for each candidate to make a three-minute closing statement, and we will start with Mr. Michael Malevsky, candidate for Palmer Mayor.
Thank you again. And I want to thank everyone who came out tonight, because there are other places you probably could have been. And I believe that your being here is the most important part of what we're doing. I hope as we finish up, there's an opportunity to talk a bit. I'd like to hear from you. You've had a chance to hear from all the candidates, and that's an important thing. As a wrap-up, I'd like to say that those four kids that actually convinced us to live here in Palmer continue to grow, and one of them taught me another lesson a little bit later on. That was my daughter, who was in Palmer High School. And that part, that time, I was a busy guy. I was doing all kinds of things. I was slicing time thinner and thinner to fit everything in. And one day I was supposed to pick her up at school, and I sort of stuck a few other things in there, so she had to wait a while. And I picked her up, and she said, "Dad, look, it's time for you to learn not to steal people's time. Don't steal people's time." And I, for some reason, that hit me right then, and I said, "Okay." And I had a moment of enlightenment, and I began to look at what I was doing. Was I doing a lot of things, a little bit of the time, was I really able to focus? What I've learned practicing since that time is that I can't do a lot of things. We've had at one time and do them all well. I had a lot of discussion about multitasking these days. And, so you can be talking on your phone and working on the computer and saying hello to someone else and reading a book. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work well. And so my closing to you is to say that when I ran for the city council 3 years ago, I committed to that. When I say I've attended 150 meetings or more, because I committed to be at meetings. I also committed to be prepared. I committed to read materials. I committed to asking questions. I committed to not wasting people's time by asking a personal question, say, at a meeting that I could have answered by either reading or talking before the meeting. I like meetings to run well. And as mayor, you have that kind of commitment. I don't have a day job. I am associated with a variety of nonprofits, and each time I've done something, 3 years ago, I was president of an organization, and I said, I have to leave that. I have to resign from that. I can't do that as well as this job. And so you have my commitment that elected as mayor, you'll get my full attention. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Michael Malevsky, candidate for Palmer Mayor. Next, we would ask Ms. Delaney Johnson for a three-minute closing statement. Ms. Johnson.
Well, I have three kids still at home, so I'll be stuck multitasking if I become mayor. But I don't think that's all bad. I think that we, multifaceted fabric of life is what makes a small town mayor have more of a connection with the community. I believe that Palmer needs leadership, needs a clear direction, needs vision. I think that right now the administration is ignoring problems, and just like with the railroad tracks and the charrette, instead of making decisions, we continue to hire consultants to study the problem, give us some more information, and things that a good leader could lead the council in the area to make a well-thought-out decision that will save the city money, it'll save the city time. We need to rein in the budget. Responsible fiscal oversight is important. We need to ensure that the reserve fund meets at least a two-month minimum. I believe that I will be the best mayor for Palmer because I connect people together. I connect my family, I connect the community, I connect the historic district folks and historical society, museum. I'm a connector within the community, and that's what the mayor has to do. The mayor has to connect this town with the priorities. This mayor connects to the council, to the city manager. Without that kind of connection, one of those pieces does not communicate with the other. The mayor is an integral part of the town, and thank you, Mayor Combs, for your last 6 years. Without the connection, we and the mayor is totally ineffective, and that's when it becomes a weak mayor. When you are connected into your community, when you're talking to people, when you're talking, you know the status of the city when someone comes and asks you a question about what's happening in their neighborhood. That's a strong mayor. That's a strong person. That's a strong connection. And that's the position, and that's the kind of qualities that I bring to this position. Thank you. Thank you for having us this evening, and thank you, everyone, for coming here and listening to this. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Delena Johnson, candidate for Palmer Mayor. We would now ask Mr. Kevin Brown for a three-minute closing statement.
Well, first of all, thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to you tonight. It's actually been a lot of fun, although it may not have always looked like we were enjoying ourselves. I think all three of us actually had a good time because we got to hear questions and concerns from the community and get our message out. I think one of the most important jobs of the mayor is to be that spokesperson for the community, to go out, to constantly engage with different parts of the community, to be the tie that binds the different aspects of the community together. And one of the things that's absolutely required in order to do that job well is integrity and honesty. Ms. Johnson, on her campaign website, has enjoyed taking some serious pot shots at our current administration, like saying, "Instead, the city has simply hired more bureaucrats and spent more money than it has taken in with little to show for it." While we have certainly raised the cost to the city of some of our administration, let me just take a moment to tell you a few of the things that they've accomplished for all of you. Mr. John Owen, Director of Public Safety, has, by taking on the role of risk management, by analyzing our insurance plans, finding redundancies, has managed to save the city over $200,000 a year. Every year. That's an ongoing savings, and that's the minimum. Carter Cole, our Public Works Director, one of the most personally annoying people you will ever want to meet, but a good man who actually cares about doing his job and just lacks the gene necessary to talk to the public, so we like to follow him around to make sure he doesn't do that a lot. That man, last year, in the middle of an emergency that saw the downtown streets ripped up, had crews on the ground within minutes of a 40-foot geyser erupting in downtown Palmer. Within a day, crews were in the ground, not on the ground, and they were already hard at work repairing the problem. 155 days later, new pavement was on the ground, new water lines are in place. He did everything he could to get that job done quickly, efficiently, and he did so at, I believe, $1.3 million under the projected budget if we had been able to find a contractor free to do it. But we couldn't find a contractor free to do it because they were already hard at work on other projects. Through his hard work, we have increased the value of our waste, of our sewer lines by $6.6 million at a cost to the city of only $300,000. That's what you get when you pay people who are qualified to do the work to go out and work harder than they've ever worked before. And that's what they're doing for us. That's what they'll continue to do for us. And I personally am proud of them, and I think it demeans us all when you try to score cheap political points by attacking the people working hard for this community.
Thank you very much, Mr. Kevin Brown, candidate for Palmer Mayor. At this point, we're going to go ahead and wrap up our forum, but before we do, I want to acknowledge a few members of our audience today. We are lucky to have with us today Palmer Mayor John Combs, and we want to thank him very much for his many years of service to the city. Thank you very much, Mayor Combs, for being here and for your service. And more importantly than that, I want to recognize somebody else in the audience today, and I'm not even going to mention their name, but you'll know who this is immediately if you're here in the room, and you can see that we have with us an active-duty Army officer. This Army officer represents those Army personnel and Armed Forces personnel that live here in the city of Palmer and make this their home. More importantly, he represents the millions of men and women that make it possible for us to have the ability to make a political choice. And I would ask at this time that the audience give a round of applause for our armed forces. Thank you very much to the audience, and thank you very much to our candidates for being here tonight. Once again, these forums have been made possible through the work of the Greater Palmer and Greater Wasilla Chambers of Commerce, and of course the backing of our sponsors, which includes Spirit of Alaska Broadcasting, where you can hear a replay of this forum on KBYR AM 700 and 1430 AM Hometown Radio over the weekend. Please contact the stations to get the times. KMBQ has provided invaluable engineering support tonight, as has Country Legends 100.9 FM. The Czar of Guitars has provided us some great service in making sure that our audio system works for tonight. The Mat-Su Valley Frontiersman has been instrumental in making these forums work, and we'll have a story tomorrow about the Palmer Mayoral Forum. We also want to thank the Mat-Su Valley Toastmasters Club for providing timing services tonight, and the City of Palmer for making this wonderful facility available. But more importantly than that, we want to thank our three candidates that took the time out of their evening to be with us tonight. We have Mr. Kevin Brown, Mr. Michael Malevsky, and Ms. Delana Johnson. Thank you, candidates. Thank you all, and good night. At this moment, the forum is concluded. However, there is an administrative note that we need to go over for the Alaska Public Offices Commission. This is Ms. Diana Straub, who is the producer for these events.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here tonight. And I just want to clarify, this building is used by a variety of different groups through the week. And it may be possible that groups who have been here before us have left materials here. There is an item that I understand is circulating. It's a document that has a few pages to it, and it has the City of Palmer logo on the front. This is not an item that has come in through our event tonight as the organizer. We don't ask that we have any approval of items through, you know, that come into our event. We encourage our candidates to bring their own materials and things. But I did check, not the candidates have brought this tonight. I understand it may have come from a city administrator's office, but I can't confirm that. So as you visit with our candidates tonight, what I want to make sure that you know is that they may or may not have had a chance to look at this. So when you visit with them, if you get answers from them tonight that differ from this sheet of paper, they may or may not have had the chance to see it, and I'm not sure of its origin. So I would just encourage you to check with the city clerk for any official documents from the City of Palmer and verify your facts through the official source of the City of Palmer. Thank you, and thank you for being here tonight.